Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Hello, Shalom Aleichem. Welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi Maseches Nida Daf Chav Ches. We begin 12 lines from the top of the Amud at the Tana Rabban. We learned in a Braisa, a Pelas, a woman discharges a Yad Chatucha, something which has a hand-like look to it, and it's Chatucha with finger-like configurations. Virgil Chatucha, likewise, a leg, which is configured with the details of a leg. Imoit Me'aleda, the mother is Tameleda. We assume that this properly formed limb originated from a properly formed fetus, which somehow came apart and came out without her noticing. And we're not going to speculate that, no, it's coming from some sort of undeveloped, incomplete entity which has no status. Shema, perhaps miguf otembo, came from this blocked entity, this incompletely formed entity. Because most women carry a properly developed fetus which has status. However, Rav Chisda, Rav Rabba, Rav Huna, Amri Tavaga, they both added, ein noisn lo yimei toyar. You still can't grant her days of tahara, which typically comes along with a birth, which triggers Yimei Tumah, followed by Yimei Tahara, and even when there is Dam, she's considered Tahar. We don't give her that privilege, so to speak. You know why? Because although we are assuming that there was a Vlad, and she's a Yoledis, but we'll never know when it happened. Perhaps the main element of this entity had already been discharged weeks ago. And by now, the Yimei Tahara have already depleted. Because at most, if it's in a keva, she has 80 days to work with. Perhaps it's past 80 days. My time, huh? Because perhaps the birth took place a long time ago. So even if we will assume that it was a Vlad, let's say it was a Zohar, okay, at the least, which has a shorter Yimei Tahara, perhaps it's past 40 days. Masa Rav Yosef, Rav Mishnah, where she is granted the full count, Yimei Tumah, followed by Yimei Tahara, and the question is why? If we don't know when it occurred, perhaps it's over by now. Masa Rav Yosef, Apelles, she miscarries, Ven Yadua, my appeal, we're not sure what it was. Was it a Zohar? Was it in a keva? The Mishnah says she has to account for all possibilities, right? Teisha lezachar in the keva, she has to go through both counts. So basically, she's machmer. She has the longer, the 2 week Yimei Tumah like in a keva, and the shorter Yimei Tahara, which ends at day 40 of the zachar. Question: why at all give her Yimei Tahara? Perhaps it took place a long time ago, and the Gemara is assuming that we're speaking even about this type of case where she just discovered this yad, and maybe the main part came out a while ago. In which case, it's over. If you're going to tell me, kol kai gavne, this type of situation, we can speculate that perhaps it's been a while since the actual birth. Let the Mishnah sort of discount any Yimei Tahara and just say, well, she has to consider herself like a nida. Maybe it was a zachar, maybe it was in a keva, maybe it was really a nida, which means to say that perhaps this made her a nida, and she will not have any Yimei Tahara. Because even if it was a birth, perhaps it was a long time ago. Amar Abaye, you're right, but there's a reason why the Mishnah did not stipulate it clearly. If the Mishnah would have said it out, I would think maybe a karmen enecho. That nida indicates that we're not even sure there was a leda. In which case, she has to bring a karmen leda, but the kohen can't eat it, just in case it's not really valid, not really necessary. Therefore, the Mishnah says she observes zachar in a cave accounts as though she gave birth, because in fact, we assume she gave birth. And she's obligated to bring a karmen, which will be processed and eaten by the kohanim. However, certainly because of this timing question, practically she can't observe Yimei Tahara. But the Mishnah didn't want to make mention of it, you know, to avoid confusion. Amar Rav Huna. What if we have an Uber in there, and his hand came out and went back in? Does that constitute birth or not? We know that if a head comes out, the head is the king of all the limbs, and of course that constitutes birth. But what about his hand? Amar Rav Huna, hoitzi Uber esiyad v'chzira. Hand came out and went back in. Imut meileda, that triggers too much leida. Shnemo, we have a pasuk by the birth of Yehuda's sons. Shnemo, he belita, as she was birthing, vayiten yad, stuck out his hand. So we see that exiting of the hand qualifies as leida. Masav Rav Yehuda, avakasha, he says. Hoitzi uber esiyada ve'enim enim chashish chodavar. Brisa says, the hand comes out, the mother has nothing to worry about. Amar Rav Nachman. Here's your answer. What's explained to me by Rav Huna, the Braisa, I mean, is like this. Sorry, it was explained to me about Rav Huna's statement that when Rav Huna says that the hand constitutes a leda, he meant lochosh chesheshes, concerns, yeah, that it raises, which means to say that she has to start counting Yimei Tumah, but Yimei Toyar, lo yavinula, but you can't move on to Yimei Toyar, as though it was a proper birth, Adonafek Rubi, until the fetus comes out, you know, the majority of it comes out, which constitutes a later. So, in a way, we're being strict, that as soon as the hand comes out, it triggers the Yimei Tumah, but not Yimei Tahara. That only happens when it's actually born. And you have to reckon your account based on the moment when the hand came out. That's when it starts the whole count. Ask the Gemara, but the Braisa clearly says there's no concern at all. Amar Abaye, min haTorah, einay chayshesh l'chodaver midai Raisa. Min haTorah doesn't qualify as a leida. Avu midrabon chayshesh midrabonon. It might get confused with the head, so we say, look, a hand is something of significance, it comes out, you have to start counting. Cheshesh. V'akroka Omar. How could you say it's only Midrabbanan? We have a pasuk. Ayi belinta, ayi tenyat. Midrabbanan. The truth is, it's only Midrabbanan. Ukra on the pasuk that we cited is just a hint. Asmachta ba'alma. First, I'm explaining. The Ritva and Sachsvashon of Tezayin and offers a beautiful explanation. Whenever we have this expression that it's Ukra asmachta ba'alma, he says what it means is that the Torah willed it so, but didn't articulate it. It wasn't meant to be a din Torah. It was meant to be developed and presented, introduced by the Chachamim in the later generations. That's why Hashem willed it. He wanted it to be done by the Chachamim. And that's why it was just slightly hinted in the Torah. Yes, this is the will of Hashem to be eventually presented by the Chachamim. Continues the mission. Ha'apelos tumtum adrignus. Okay, so she gives birth. So even though it says Mapelas, which typically refers to an unsuccessful miscarriage, but here it refers either way to a miscarriage or even a live birth. But gender is unknown. Child is a tumtum, whose gender signs are covered up. So it's uncertain as to whether this fellow is a zachor or a nekeva, or vadreganus, which is a mixed gender. Both signs. So in this case, what kind of track does she have? Does she follow the Zohar account with the shorter, you know, 7-day Tumah followed by 33-day Tahara, or does she count Nekeva, which is much longer, 2 weeks of Tumah, all the way to 80, you know, May Tahara? Teishev leZohar Nekeva, she has to observe both, which means to say that she has to take the shorter May Tahara and the longer May Tumah, because his gender is unknown. What if it's a tumtum with vizachar or androgynous, who's a twin together with another vizachar? Likewise, teishav zachar nekeva, she has to observe both counts. What if it's a tumtum and vinekeva, or androgynous and vinekeva? Teishav nekeva levad. In this case, she will only observe the nekeva count, because in this case, she's certainly entitled to the longer count. And even if the accompanying, you know, entity was a zachar, but it's sort of enveloped, it's absorbed in the much longer account. So there's no reason to reckon for it separately. continues the Mishnah. Yotzei mechutach ha-mesuras. Let's say the baby came out mechutach, chopped up in pieces. Lo yaleinu. Oy mesuras, or abnormally, meaning feet first instead of head first. Shiyotzei rubli. At what point does it constitute birth? When most of it came out. Shiyotzei rubli, right? We know throughout the Torah. Rubli kikulei. Harayu kiyot. Yotzei kadaka. If it comes out conventionally, head first. In this case, you don't have to wait to 51%. Achi, it's a revelation until his head or most of his head comes out. What qualifies as most? And she says, "Badachta, his forehead." Asks the Gemara, the obvious question on the Mishnah. Mishnah began, if it's just a tumtum, we're not sure. Zachar and a keva have to account for both. So what does Mishnah have to continue and say? Tumtum accompanied by a zachar, we do the same. Well, obviously, he already did that by the tumtum himself, without an accompaniment. Hashta, look, even in the case of tumtum on its own l'chudei, while doing this on its own l'chudei, Amarit Mishnah says, she has to account for both possibilities, teishav l'zachar nekeva. So why go on to the next case? Tumtum together with v'zachar. Or on dragoness, v'zachar mibaya, of course it goes without, obviously, the same thing will happen. Istrich, the answer is like this. I don't think it's different. Since the accompanying twin is a confirmed zachar, maybe that's indicative of what's happening on the other entity. Because chances are they both went through the same process, triggered by the same conception. And if this was a zachar, we assume probably the other one as well. While the tamer, there's room to think, Hoyvan Rav Yitzchak. Yitzchak tells us that the biological process works as follows. Isha Mazaras Tchilaf, the woman, expresses herself hormonally first. Hilad is zachar. Turns out to be a zachar. If it's on the man's side first, it's going to be in a cave. Ish Mazriat Chila, Hilad is in a cave. So in our case, where we discover a zachar there, let's assume the same process would have created a zachar alongside him. Ema, let's say, Midahai zachar. Once this is a confirmed zachar, Hainam is zachar, the other one as well. Kamashman, the point is no. There's a third option. Ema, Shneim, Mizriu, Basach, they both express themselves simultaneously, the husband and wife, and therefore, it can go either way. You can have one on one. Zu zachar, Zenekev. Amar Rav Nach. Amar Rav. Here comes an interesting halach. Tumtum Vadraganus. So you have one of these undefined, you know, gender entities. Shero Leuven Oyoidim. So they experience Leuven, a whitish emission, which Rashi says means like a keri, right? Which typically relates to a man. Oyoidim, or a reddish expression, the dam of a need of a woman. Ein Chayevan al Abias Migdash. They go into the Migdash. They're not chayev. Why? Because who says I'm a man? Who says I'm a woman? Right? Because the loiven is only an issue by a man. Maybe she's a woman. The dam is only an issue by a woman. Maybe she's a man. He's a man. Vein serve an alim satruma. Likewise, if the tumtum had dam and he touched teruma, you're not going to burn it because maybe he's not really tummy. Now comes a big chiddush. Let's say the tumtum experienced both, loiven and oidim. So you think he's covered. Either way, he's tummy. Roar loiven ve'oidim ke'echad. The chiddush is ein chayoben al bias migdash. They go into the migdash, they're not chayiv a carbon. Some say it's even mutal chatchila. We'll see why. Aval serfin alim satruma. But certainly the fellow is tummy. Either way, he's tummy. If he touches truma, you got to burn it. Shenamar, why is he exempt from entering the migdash in this state? Mizochar vad nekeva, which turns out to be Tishalech, the pasuk instructs us to send away a zochar who's tummy and a keva who's tummy. What we learn from here needs to be a confirmed zochar who's experiencing this personally generated tumma. Likewise, in a keva, it is some element of uncertainty as to his status, as to what's triggering the tumma. He's exempt from this halacha. Zochar vaday. It confirms the Kevav Adoyz. V'loi Tumtum Adrogin is both of these undefined entities. And that's Rav's Chiddush. So regarding generally classifying them as Tummy, of course they're Tummy. They had both together. And therefore if they touch Truma, Truma is Tummy. But regarding Bias Migdash, there's a special stipulation. When we speak about personally generated tumors, not speaking about him touching a mace, of course he's tummy, he can't enter. But we're talking about personal tumors, emission related tumors. There it has to be defined and confirmed. Levi Mesele, perhaps we can support this halach from a brice. Tumtum adregnus, shiro levin oidim, So if the Tumtum saw one or the other, certainly that's a Safek, doesn't know whether he's Tamid, there's no liability for entering the Midosh, nor will it affect Truma. Right? So the Truma will now be in a state of Safek, you can't burn it, you can't eat it, but you can't burn it. Ro Leiv invite them Ka'achas, but if they had both together, red and white, nevertheless, Ein Chayovan Al Yasmid, they're not liable for Mikdosh, but they're considered Tamid regarding other matters. Al Sefalim said Truma. Why the exempt from Mikdash? My time and why? Let's assume because of that pasuk of Rav. And this is a riot to Rav's opinion. My time, Lav Mushum Shinamar Mizachabad Nekeva Shalech. We learn, confirmed Zachar, confirmed Nekeva, Zachar Vad and Nekeva Vadois. Velo, you're not, etum to Madrigans. Amar Ulalo, no. Look, this price perhaps is reflective of a Shita, a unique Shita called Rav Eliezer Shita, who requires specificity. In all matters of entering the Midrash Betumah, and likewise, by extension, he requires this element of specificity as well. But the Chacham, the other opinions, the consensus opinion, which does not have that precondition of specificity regarding the other element of specificity coming up in a minute, likewise, we'll not have this requirement of a confirmed Zohar and confirmed Nekev. Lo Yomani Rav Eliezer, he does not. Where do we find Rav Eliezer? Rav Eliezer Oim, Hasheretz Menela, Mimenu, Pasuk says, he was involved with touching Hasheretz, slipped his mind, the end of the Migdash, then, becomes aware, he has to bring a carbon. Says Rav Eliezer, the fact that Vanilla Mimenu is laid out near the reference to the source of Tumah, to the cause of Tumah, to the Sheretz, tells us, Al-Halim Sheretz Ruchayv. It's only Chayv if he forgot that he touched the Sheretz. So he forgot that he was Tummy, entered the Migdash, then he realizes. But let's say he knows that he's Tummy, but he's not realizing this is a Beis HaMikdash. That was his element of unawareness. Ve'en Echayv is not liable for that. Al-Halim Migdash. Rabbi Kiva Omer seems to say the same thing. We'll see in a minute what the difference will be. Likewise, Me'el Mimenu V'Tummy. So we slipped his mind that he's Tummy. So the slippage of mind relates to his Tumah. Al-Halim Tumah Chayv, the only Chayv for forgetting the fact that he is Tummy. Ve'en Echayv Al-Halim Migdash. But let's say he's aware about his Tumah, but he doesn't realize this is a Migdash. There's no Chayv for that. Seems to be saying the same thing, but meaning the question was posed. Might be a difference between the two opinions here, but Machiskiya, there's a slight difference. Suppose he knows that he is Tamei. Why? Because he knows he touched one or the other, either a Sheretz or a Nevel. He's not sure about that, but he knows that he's Tamei. And then he forgot that he was Tamei at all, entered the Migdash, became aware, should he bring a car? Rav Eliezer says, Hasheretz Vanilla. The initial awareness had to be very specific. He had to know exactly why he was Tamei. And then slipped his mind, etc. Kutan Rekiva, no. This element of specificity is not required. As long as he realized that he became Tamei, then he forgot that he's Tamei, entered the Midrash, etc., he's still Chayv. So we find that Rav Eliezer requires very defined, very specific process, very specific knowledge, very specific awareness. And likewise, by extension, when it comes to the Tumtum, if he's lacking that specificity, he'll be exempt. When it's a question of whether I touch Sheretz or Nevel, that will be the difference here. Rav Eliezer Savar, he says, not enough to have a vague general idea of Tumah, unless you have that specificity. But Inon Ad Yoda, he has to have that precise awareness. Even Sheretz, Itami, was it a Sheretz that made him Tami? Even Nevel Itami. Rav Akiva Savar, no, that's not needed. Loi ba'inan, we don't need that element of specificity. And therefore, says the Gemara, Lav Amar Rav Eliezer Hasam, just as Rav Eliezer tells us over there, specificity is required. Ba'inan the Yodi has to have that specific knowledge. Ibisheretz itami, even if it's itami, Yachanami, here as well, by the Tumtum. Ba'inan the Yodi, he has to have an absolute confirmation. What's my issue? Am I a man? And Loivin made me tell me? Am I a woman? And Oidim made me tummy. And the absence of that awareness, he will not be liable for B.S. Midrash. But in the other, he'd be loivin itami, he'd be oivin itami. Avo, but according to the other view, Avo the Rekiva, the Amar who says, Mishum tummy, Machai, just general knowledge that he became tummy would suffice. Hachanami here as well, but he tummy, Mishum tummy, Machai, as long as he knows he's tummy. Mimarav shall he's tummy. Not sufficient to hold him accountable. Okay, so again, Rav teaches a Tumtum, or not Regenus, who had Loivin and Oidim simultaneously. He knows that either way is Tameh, it's not enough for liability for B.S. Midrash, which requires specificity. We thought we had a raya from the Braisa. We're not sure. Perhaps that's Rabbi Lezer, but going to Rakiva, and the other Shita is that wouldn't be required. But in any case, Rav does maintain that position. And we learned that it's based on the Pasuk, because Ma'adam Mizachar Vadnekeva Teshalechu needs to be confirmation as to the cause of the Tumah. Am I a Zachar? Am I a Nekeva? Ask the Gemara, why is this limited to exempting from B'yas Mikdash? But regarding other matters, we give him status of Tumah. He touches Truma, he's certainly Metame the Truma, and the question is why? Rav, Maishna B'yas Mikdash Deloi, why is he exempt from B'yas Mikdash? Because of the Pasuk. Mizachar Vadnekeva Teshalechu, it has to be gender specific. Zohar vada nekeva vadois veloi and not a tum to madrugmas. Yachi, if that's the case, truma namely illustrate. We shouldn't consider him tummy at all, even with respect to affecting truma. Truma namely illustrate. The pasuk there as well speaks about genders. Vazav ezoivo, zachar nekeva. The pasuk speaks about, you know, all types of personal tumas, azav, etc. Zachar nekeva. Let's learn. It needs to be a confirmed zachar vadai or nekeva vadois and not a mixed gender, a lawyer, tum to madragnus. Answers the Gemara, no, that pasuk is needed for something else. Unavailable to exempt a tum to. Oh, and Vaylik, Rabbi Yitzchak, Rabbi Yitzchak. The word Lazachar over there by the Zav is Larab is coming to teach you a totally different thing. We know that the liquids generated by a Zav or a Zava have a very high status of tumma. It's avatumma, like a saliva, etc. It's called mayonesa, it's wellsprings, it's self generated liquids. And we need to apply that idea to a mitzvah as well, or a mitzvah, a woman mitzvah. That there too, the liquid, the mayonis, the wellspring, have status of avatum. And that's what we learn from this pasuk. The word lezachar, l'ram is a mitzvah, to include mitzvah, and to be mitame, his saliva, etc. Mayonis, the word in the cave, l'ram is to include as a mitzvah, a woman mitzvah, regarding the tumah status of our liquids. But it's not relating to a specificity and confirmation of gender. Ask the Gemara, okay, so you're telling me that pasuk is unavailable to exempt a tumtum? Well, let's go back to our pasuk by Shiluach, you know, Tmeim from the Migdash. It says, Zachar Nekeva, fine, but Mizachar Ve'ad Nekeva, fine, but we need it for a different lesson as well. It's unavailable to exempt a tumtum. Hai Namim Boile is coming to teach us, not only is a person whose tummy not allowed to be in the Middash, but even a utensil, a kli, cannot be brought to the Middash when it's tummy, or if you find it inside, you have to quickly send it out. So this requirement of, sending out something which, a kli, which is tummy, only applies to a type of kli which has potential for being relieved of its tumah by immersing in a mikvah, such as a metal kli. You find it in the base of Middash, quickly take it out. Pratically, Kher is supposed to an earthenware kli, which doesn't have that ability. Right? You can't be tabled in a mikvah, doesn't have that option of tahara. So there you just break it in the base. I mean, you just break it on the spot, and that, destroys the tumah. So the pasuk is for this purpose. And it's unavailable to exempt the tumtum from shiluach mikdash. Well, says the one can, if it's only to teach us the idea of the kli, nicht rechmona adam. Pasuk would say, send out an Adam. And we would learn, just as an Adam has the mikvah option, likewise a kli which has mikvah option is under the same, rule. V'chitema says, digmar iksev ikaz rachmona Adam. So why does it have to say mizach avad nekeva instead of just simply Adam? Well, no, v'chitema, perhaps you can argue, ikaz rachmona Adam, if it would only say Adam, I would say, only a human, a person whose tummy is an issue in the Beis HaMikdash, but a metal kli, even if there's the mikvah option, but it's a kli, not an adam. Loi, there's no issue. You can't say that. Mikol tummy lenefesh nafka. Pasuk says any tummy, not just a person, even a kli. Okay, so now back to the point that mizachar nekeva is extra. Zachar nekeva lomli, what's that for? Look at the Rav. This is Rav's point. It needs to be gender specific. Ask the Gemara. So now let's go the other way. Perhaps it's only coming for this point and not coming to include that other formula, that, mikvah option requirement. Also, maybe it's completely coming for Rav. Imkain, if that were the case, Zachor and Akeva would say Zachor and Akeva should be sent out. And we would exempt the Tumtum, whose gender is unknown. My Mizachar Ve'ad, the extra Ve'ad in the cave, what's that for? And is coming to tell you, kol dover sheyesh lo tavar mikvah, only an item which has mikvah option. Yachi. Ask the Gemara, if you're exempting a tumtum weren't regnus because they're not gender defined. So just as we're exempting them from personal tumais, why stop there? Let's say a tumtum touched a meis, should be allowed in the Beis HaMikdash because he's not gender specific. Yach, if that's the case, ki tami b'shar tumais loy l'shalachu, he became tami through other tumais. You don't have to send them away. Amakro, the pasuk says no. Mi zachar, we're speaking about gender related, personally generated tumais. Emission tumais. Mi zachar mituma person na zachar. In that realm, we exempt the non gender specific individuals. Okay, so bottom line, we have a real zachar who had loiven, also in the Miglish. A keva who had dam, also in the Miglish. A tumtum who had one experience or the other, he's a suffix tumma. So he touches truma, you can't burn it, you can't eat it. And the chiddush is, even if he has both together, in which case he knows either way he's tummy, going to Rav, and we learned the same through Rebbe Elazar perhaps, it's not gender specific, he's not confirmed as having experienced a zachar emission which made him tummy, or him. He's not sure which way. What was the trigger point of his tumah? So he's exempted from the pasuk mizachar bad nekeva, and this is limited to personally generated tumas. But if he touches a maid, of course he's not allowed to be bish. Whatever he is, zachar or nekeva or none of the above or both. Ask the gemara: v'chalecha d'chsev mizachar bad nekeva l'muti tumah natriyinus d'as? Is that so that whenever we have a reference to zachar nekeva in the pasuk, it exempts these undefined entities? Let's take a look at Erechim, which entails a fellow who pledged the value of an individual. And the Torah sets down, a fixed fee structure, depending on gender, depending on age. It says Hazachar there. Betanya in the Brisa says, the word Hazachar, the extra hey, not the word Zachar per se, but the extra hey, Veloi Tumtum Vadraigimus, exempts all these fellows. So the male fee does not apply to them. What about the female fee, which is a bit lower? Yochel, perhaps, lo yehi berachish. She's not covered by erachish. Al yehi berachish, she has the isha fixed fee. Tamaloymar, hazachar. Ve'im nekeva. The word ve'im exempts him. We learn that it has to be defined. His gender has to be known and confirmed. Zachar, vaday, nekeva vadoiz. Ve'loitum vadoiz. But it's only because of the extra hey, hazachar. It's only because of the extra ve'im nekeva. Time of the chesed, it's only because it says hazachar and v'im nekeva. But otherwise, just merely the reference to zachar nekeva per se wouldn't automatically disqualify the tumtum v'adreginus, unlike Rav who says it does. But mizachar nekeva, just merely those references, l'mimayt, you wouldn't exempt them. Why not? Answer the Gemara, because in this case, it has to say, it has to spell out zachar nekeva, it's not extra to exempt anything, if not for the extra hay and the extra v'im. Why? Because we have separate and distinct fee structures. Bein erech ish, if it's separate, distinct between the erech ish, l'erech isha. So without the extra letters and words, you wouldn't have any source to exempt anything. Because it has to stipulate the fee structure of the ish, distinguish it from the fee structure of the isha. It's only the extra hey and the v'im, which exempts the tumah natriyinus, as opposed to the Halacha of Rabbi, we're speaking about sending Tmeim out of the Midrash, it was unnecessary to even make mention of Zachar Nekeva, if not to exempt a Tumtum Adrenus. Okay, all the best to you, and Atzlach Rabbi.